Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And now, the voice of a man who once carried a political dynasty in America.
Support human rights. We believe in that. Support self-determination. We're built on that. Support economic development. You know it's right. Be consistent and gain our moral authority in the world. I challenge you tonight, my friends, let's be bigger and better as a nation and as a party.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson, presidential candidate speaking at the Democratic National Convention back in 1988, an electrifying speaker talking about America's political future. And now the voice who was to catch that torch from his father's leadership.
I grew up with the lessons of another generation, the Selma generation, my father's generation. I know his stories of struggle and sacrifice, of fear and division. I know America is still a place where dreams are too often deferred and opportunities too often denied.
That's Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. speaking exactly 20 years later at the Democratic National Convention in Denver in 2008. Yesterday, he pled guilty to wire and mail fraud in connection with campaign funds, and he could face up to 57 months in prison. Jackson was diagnosed with bipolar disorder last summer. Here is Jackson's lawyer, Reed Weingarten, speaking about his famous client's troubles yesterday.
Turns out that Jesse has serious health issues. Many of you know about them. We're going to talk about them extensively with the court. And those health issues are directly related to his present predicament. That's not an excuse. That's just a fact.
Is this a predicament for the Jackson family, or is it more of a legacy question as we look back on the long history of both Jesse Jackson Jr. and the Reverend Jesse Jackson in American politics? With us now is Delmarie Cobb, a Chicago-based political consultant. Delmarie formerly worked for both Jesse Jackson Sr. and Jr. She joins us from the studios of the great radio station WBEZ in Chicago, the center of the Jackson world. Delmarie Cobb, welcome.
Thank you.
What has been the trajectory of Jesse Jackson and his son since that pinnacle speech in 1988, do you think?
Well, for a while there, after the 1988 speech, of course, his son, Jesse Jr., and I was with him at that time, he took that to heart. And I think that's why he wound up going into politics and ran for Congress in 1995.
And what we saw in the 90s was a sort of an all-out assault in the Chicago community and among certain aspects of the media against Operation Push, Jesse Jackson's initiative there in Chicago and around the country. And it seemed that on some level, the pressure for Jesse Jackson Jr. seemed extraordinary to live up to a legacy that maybe no one could live up to. You lived through all of that, yes?
Well, I was a confidant of Jesse Jackson Jr.'s, and we used to joke. I would tell him when he was running that he had an opportunity to be Jesse Plus. That's what I called him, because oftentimes people accused his father of being a tree shaker and not a jelly maker. And I told Jesse Jr. that he had the opportunity to actually be a jelly maker, to roll up his sleeves and go to Congress and actually get work done. And that's what he did. I mean, he went to Congress. He had one of the best voting records in Congress up until his illness. And even with his illness, having missed all the votes he did, he still was one of the top three voters in Congress in Illinois.
So you think this is all medical here, that there were no hints that he was in some kind of trouble before this diagnosis and the disturbing news that we all learned last summer?
Oh, no, I do think that he had this illness for a long time. I mean, I have been alienated from him since about 2000. And many of his close friends, many of the family's close friends who knew him since he was a child had become alienated from him. And so now only looking back after hearing the diagnosis, did we realize that maybe this is what was going on with him? Because we clearly knew something was going on with him. He was not the Jesse Jr. that I knew.
Talking with Delmarie Cobb, who's a political consultant from Chicago. I remember when Jesse Jackson Jr.'s name came up in the whole Blagojevich mess about Barack Obama's Senate seat. I didn't know what to make of it then. I don't know what to make of it now. What went through your mind when his name was on the list of people that Blagojevich contacted one way or another.
Well, I actually had a conversation with Jesse Jr. It's probably one of the last conversations I had with him. It was the Saturday after the 2008 election. And I said to him that one of the biggest problems was that he let everybody know how badly he wanted that seat. And I think that that was the beginning of the end for him.
Is that the way it works in politics, that there is something dangled in front of you that is so palpably yours that it becomes a kind of an entitlement, a fixation, and you can't focus on the work of the people?
Well, that was his personality anyway. Jesse Jr.'s personality was compulsive and obsessive, but for good. I mean, that's why he had a perfect vote, because he would become obsessed with something and just go after it and make sure he did it. And that's what made him so good and so brilliant and so effective. But of course, that can also work to your disadvantage if it goes in the wrong direction or becomes extreme. And I think that's what happened in the case with wanting that seat. He had an opportunity in 2007 to run for mayor of Chicago. And I think that was his one shining moment. You know, you only get a moment to do certain things, and that was the moment he should have taken, and he didn't. And I had gone to him and I had talked to him about 10 years ago about a path to victory for mayor of Chicago, and he actually did everything opposite of what I told him. And so that was when I really realized there was something wrong, and he and I became alienated more and more. So I think that when he saw that shot, he thought, well, he had helped Barack Obama. Nobody knew Barack Obama very well when he ran for U.S. Senate. And Jesse Jr. had him on billboards all across the Southland of Chicago. And I guess he thought this would be his reward for having helped Barack Obama, who was very close to the Jackson family, as a matter of fact,
sure,
that many people don't know.
Delmarie Cobb was Jesse Jackson Sr.'s national traveling press secretary when he ran for president back in 1988, and Jackson Jr.'s director of communications when he ran for Congress in the special election of 1995. Jackson troubles today. Delmarie Cobb, thanks so much.
You're welcome.